And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose. What up, though? I'm David Jacoby. And on the cool check-in, center stage on the mic. And we put it on wax. We're Jalen and Jacoby. What do? We give the people what they want. Jalen Rose, what will you be doing this evening right around 6:45?
I will be with my partner in crime, David Jacoby, at the Barclays Center tonight. The Nets on the floor will be playing the Utah Jazz. Kyrie Irving has returned. The Jazz have been playing terrific. I'm glad you get a chance to see Bogdanovich up close and personal. I get a chance to see my body style, Joe Ingles, up close and personal. But more importantly, we gonna be there to give the people what they want starting at 6:30, 6:45 p.m.
Joe Burrow got what he wanted. Ed Ogeron got what he wanted. And our guy Marcus Spears got what he wanted. The LSU Tigers, Louisiana State University Tigers, are now undefeated, 15-0 national champions. And we start with that man throwing the ball, Joe Burrow. After a little bit of a slow start for the LSU offense, Burrow was just putting the ball exactly where it needed to be, making NFL throw after NFL throw and doing it with his legs. Jalen Rose, what did you think of the future number one pick in the NFL draft performance?
Did they got to remix a Mobb Deep record? Joe Burrow, keep it thorough. That's what okay. I was thinking watching the game. He went crazy, Jacoby, this entire season. Only the ninth guy to win the Heisman Trophy and the national championship. They were consistently beating the top teams in collegiate football. Beat seven of the top ten AP ranked squads on the year. Tough schedule. Continue to produce. He's been awesome the entire year. One of the best quarterbacking seasons I recall watching with my two eyes.
It really is. More touchdowns than anyone in the FBS era. And he had 463 yards in this one, and he was responsible for 6 touchdowns, 5 through the air, 1 on the ground. It seemed like whenever they needed to play, Burrow was there to make it. But on the other side of the ball, after watching Trevor Lawrence in the national championship game last year, he was almost perfect, just tearing apart that Alabama defense. And you were thinking to yourself, wow, this is next year's Heisman Trophy winner. This is the future of the NFL. He didn't look great yesterday, especially he kind of came out of the gate hot, but that Clemson offense had trouble, and Trevor Lawrence himself just never seemed comfortable. He wasn't necessarily pressured, but throws like that just kept happening over his receivers. Jalen Rose, what do you think about this sort of head-scratching performance from Trevor Lawrence?
I want to tell you a secret, Jacoby, and this is only between you and I. This is only between us.
Okay.
Trevor Lawrence didn't have an outstanding year, not just in the national championship game. There were some times earlier in the year where he actually was struggling to the point where Dabo had to come out and defend him, and the defense was that they're still winning. And so for him to get his first L in the national championship game, it kind of highlighted what he would, how he'd been playing the entire year. They gave out a Heisman Trophy this year. Was he invited to that ceremony?
I don't think he made the trip.
And that says a lot when you're going on your second straight year of being undefeated, when you've shown the world that you have the potential to be a number one overall quarterback when you come out of school. Of course, you want to give LSU's defense a lot of credit, but 13 overthrows is more than he's ever had in the game. And that says a lot because he is a great talent.
I mean, there are the numbers and there is the eye test. And it just sort of seemed like he wasn't comfortable. Like, I don't know if it was the LSU secondary. We have to give them credit. My guy, Jacoby Stevens. Jacoby Stevens was out there to put people on the ground. And Fulton on one side. And they have Queen in the middle. Like, they did a really good job sort of defending those Clemson receivers, not letting them get off. But it did seem like Trevor Lawrence just wasn't comfortable. And on the biggest stage, I did like the poise he showed after. He was like, you know what? We're not champions. We had a great season. And he's required to come back. So if he were to win two straight national titles and then come back for a third year, I don't think he'll be as hungry as he will be this year. I think Clemson is going to win next year just based on Trevor Lawrence's performance. What do you think?
I'm not mad at your confidence in how he's going to respond as an individual, how they're going to respond as a team. Dabo's done a terrific job turning this into an elite program. But you got to get stops at some point. And even when they play well, for example, against Alabama, I still look down, and they was giving up 40-plus points. So you need their defense. You hear that noise? Yeah. That's Chase still running up the sideline. He's still running. He's still running, Jacoby. Like, at some point, we could put it all, talk about Lawrence. And by the way, Etienne was really the heartbeat of their offense all year. But at some point, their defense got to step up and be elite as well.
Well, there's one defender on this one play. I feel bad for him. It's Tanner Muse. He's number 19. Keep an eye on Clemson defender number 19 as this ball goes down the right sideline. Watch number 19. He's in the screen, and then he just falls over when Jefferson makes a quick stop. Jalen. Now, I would not be able to do that, but it's got to be a little embarrassing when you fall over on your back without touching the offender in the national championship game.
Do you think Jefferson put him in the reverse Muse cage? What do you think about that one?
The Muse cage. I love it. What a reference. There are 17 people that got that reference that are absolutely with us and loving it. If you didn't, just Google the term Muse cage. Now, you talk about the Clemson defense, and there was one play that impacted Clemson's defense a lot. It was a crucial part of the game, and it was their linebacker, Skalski, was all over the place, making Joe Burrow uncomfortable, hitting Joe Burrow at the end of the half, and also making plays out in the field in coverage. But this play here didn't look like much in live action, but when you slow it down, certainly hits him with the crown of the helmet. That is technically by the rule book targeting and a personal foul. Also by the rule book means he should be ejected from the game. I felt this was too harsh of a penalty for a play like that. What do you think about this rule and that hit and him not being able to participate in the rest of the game?
So I'm going to speak clearly into this microphone. Not only do I dislike the call, I absolutely hate it for a number of reasons. Number one, the launch point of the receiver changes. One of your teammates hit him. You launched to hit him. You weren't initially planning on hitting him with your helmet. That's number one. The game is just too fast. Number two, for me, if it's not something that's premeditated, it shouldn't be something that could get you immediately ejected from the game. These games are so very important. Players get to play so few in the overall picture and make a big time impact, especially on a stage like this. You have to show some sort of judgment when you the officials. You can't handle all calls equally because they're not. So I am not a fan to him getting ejected at all.
The idea that this young man had to watch the rest of the game and a crucial part of the game from the locker room is it's fundamentally unfair. But you know what? I don't just point out the problems. I also have a fix. If you get called for targeting and it's a personal foul, you're not ejected for the game. You have to sit down for the rest of that possession. For the rest of the possession, you are not allowed to play. But once the possession changes, you are back on the field just like you were in the beginning of the game. Jalen, obviously, the LSU Tigers came away with the win. And in his press conference, Coach Ull told Joe Burrow to take it easy on that cigar. Joe Burrow did not listen to his head coach. Here we have Joe Burrow in the bowels of the famed Superdome in New Orleans, just puffing away on a cigar. Jalen Rose, me and you, we have a lot of things in common, a lot of things that are different between us, but one thing we do have in common is we both hate cigars. He's not even enjoying that.
You know what? I actually sat back and thought about why I didn't win the big game. And then sometimes it's like, well, you did, go against some of the all-time greats in college and the pros.
Facts.
And then
Facts.
I made it a little more cut and dry. I don't like champagne and I don't like cigars. So both are overrated. That's why I never won a championship.
Both are wildly overrated. Champagne, too bubbly. You can't drink that much of it. It makes me burp a lot. And cigars are cool for like 20 seconds. For the first 20 seconds of a cigar, you feel like you look good, but then you accidentally inhale it. You start coughing. You stink. Your clothes stink. Your breath stinks. Cigars last for like an hour and a half. You know Joe Burrow didn't even enjoy that. Once they were done getting that shot of him smoking the cigar, he put it out and then grabbed a beer. All right. Congratulations to the LSU Tigers and all of our colleagues that went to the great Louisiana State University. This is your time. Enjoy the celebration this weekend in Baton Rouge. I'm sure that you all will. So we move on from one purple and gold to another purple and gold. The Lakers beat the Cavs. LeBron scored an efficient 31 points, going 12-16 from the field, had 8 assists. But I want to ask you about a gentleman by the name of Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard has been an absolute revelation all year long. He had 21 points in this one, 15 rebounds, and he even hit a three-point shot. Jalen, how are they getting this performance from Dwight Howard?
So the beauty of longevity is that it gives you a chance to rewrite history and or reinvent yourself in a lot of ways. I'm seeing this with Carmelo Anthony. Had he unceremoniously been out of the league after 10 games in Houston for a season, the public will look at him different, the media will look at him different, and even his colleagues will look at him different. Same thing that's happened for Dwight Howard, who was on multiple teams these last handful of seasons, and uniquely, he was always called to be either the best player or the second best player. Then all of a sudden, you get to Washington and you're not really playing, you deal with some injury issues, you were called to be the third best player. Now, this guy's a future Hall of Famer. He's been Defensive Player of the Year, has led a team to the finals, has won rebounding titles. And you could tell from the neck up, he wasn't making those adjustments in Houston. He wasn't making them in L.A. And so now, at this point of his career, it's like, wait a minute, my contract is non-guaranteed? Like Melo, my contract is non-guaranteed? And I'm a future Hall of Famer? Oh, I got a chance to reinvent myself on the big stage. Run, jump, dunk, block shots, give effort. These are things that many critics wanted him to do all of the time. Instead of trying to get post-ups, he's doing it now on a big stage, on a great team. He's putting himself in position to get a championship.
So there's always reports about maybe the Lakers will make a trade. Maybe Kuzma's available. And there are also some reports that Rob Pelinka has made everybody available in the purple and gold except for AD and LeBron. However, the Lakers have won 9 straight games and they have the best record in the Western Conference, not by a slim margin either. Jalen, do you think they make a move potentially trading Kuzma or somebody else to bolster the roster as they head into the playoffs?
I wouldn't be surprised if they would. I do, because they have a championship aspiration, and I appreciate the parity that's actually happening in the league because there isn't a quote-unquote super team, and I deem a super team is one with at least 3 all-NBA performers at the same time. And so for the Lakers, they see they need more shooting on the perimeter, from 3 in particular, better people that can make free throws late in games, because that's not going to change with LeBron struggling and D12 struggling from the line, and Rondo has had his issues at points of his career from the line as well. But also, some people that can give you offense off the dribble. When I'm watching the Lakers play, the only person creating shots for everybody is LeBron James. Now, that's great in the regular season that he's leading the league in assists, and he is dominant. And you want the basketball in LeBron's hands. But in the playoffs, as the game slows down, you can either run and take the ball out of his hands, and then now all of a sudden, who's going to make plays off the dribble? And lastly, Jamal Crawford's available. I don't know if y'all waiting until y'all do a trade. I don't know if y'all waiting to see what's going to happen with Andre Iguodala, but it just baffles me a team like the Lakers have not picked up Jamal Crawford just yet.
We thank you so much for tuning in, but if you are someone who listens to the podcast every day or watch the show every once in a while, sometimes news to everyone else, to you, is broken news.
To everyone else, it's breaking news. To Jalen and Jacoby listeners, it's broken news.
All season long, when we talk about the Thunder and the surprising way that they've managed to win games without Russell Westbrook and without Paul George, we talk about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. We've been talking about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander all season long, and now everyone is. Why? Because he put on a show yesterday against the Timberwolves. Not only did he have 20 points, not only did he have 20 assists, he had 20 rebounds to go along with that. And he's a guard. Jalen, what do you think about SGA's breakout performance last night against the Timberwolves?
You know, our theme for this program is to give the people what they want.
And that is a fact.
What we take pride in doing is going deeper into the box score, introducing you to people before they actually become mainstream stars. So we took pride in talking about the Nuggets and Jokic and Pascal Siakam. One of our guys last year in the playoffs got traded this offseason, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And It flew under the radar for everybody. And now all of a sudden, this young guy, who's lanky, I love his court demeanor. I love his awareness to track down balls and grab 20 boards, but also his court sense that he can still score, he can still get you dimes, and he doesn't look rattled. I like the same maturity that somebody like Luka plays with.
Yep.
He has that also. A calmness about himself, never seems to really get sped up, more athletic than you probably give him credit for. He's going to be a terrific player in this league.
He really is, and he's a very, very young man, too. The youngest to ever have a 20-rebound triple-double. And he's not that big. He probably weighs less than I do, which isn't saying that much, to be honest. Okay, do you remember the Pelicans had that really, really slow start? The Pelicans started out way below expectations. But recently, if you're not paying attention, they've been winning basketball games. The latest was against the Pistons, so it doesn't really count. But they did get a nice contribution from Lonzo Ball with 17, 12, and 9. And remember that guy, Jahlil Okafor, 25 and 14 from someone who was a little bit of a castaway from the 76ers. Jalen, the Pelicans are winning basketball games. Do you think they can make a run and get themselves out of the lottery this season?
Potentially, and that all is going to hinge on what happens with Zion Williamson. But for that basketball game to be taking place in Detroit, Michigan, I have to always acknowledge the score of the game and the game of life. There are a lot of players and businesses that come through my hometown that don't find the time, energy, or the passion to give back. Shout to Andre Drummond for being a consistent contributor and supporter of JRLA. With that being said, you said the key to the Pelicans on floor right now. Lonzo Ball been playing like a top-tier player.
Yep.
that's what I expect from a guy that allowed me to be adopted into their family. I have expectations not only of him for that reason, but he a big guard. And he went number two overall. I expect this. I'm happy to see him. And how many times did I come on this show and defend Jahlil Okafor when I felt like the Sixers unceremoniously benched him?
For years and years and years. For years.
And shout to Alvin Gentry for taking these reclamation projects and turning these guys into confident NBA performers. Now I need to see some consistency like I've seen from Brandon Ingram.
Well, Lonzo Ball is expecting Zion Williamson to come back. How do I know that? Because he threw this alley-oop. Just take a look at this errant pass from Lonzo, who had 9 assists. Could have had 10 if this one looked a little bit better and got himself a triple-double. He's just waiting for Zion. He's just waiting for Zion to come back. But Jalen Rose, there is something that happened during this game that I really need to talk to you about. And when there is video that we need to break down in detail, you and I need to go to the table. Jalen, just watch this tape and you talk me through it. You give me the play-by-play on what you see on the screen because it is some of the most fascinating tape I've ever seen from an NBA game in my life. That is Zion Williamson, number one pick in the draft. What's he doing? What's he doing?
So I'm going to tell you exactly what he's doing. First off, so many people been coming to New Orleans over the last couple of weeks. And I know they're on a road trip. I know he was in Detroit. But you can't tell me if he spent days, minutes, hours there over this last couple of weeks, people ain't been hitting him up. Somewhere to crash. Can he get tickets? Can he hook them up with where to go to eat at? Can he help them out with hotels? blowing up his phone. And here's the other thing, Jacoby. He recovering from an injury. And that rehab is tough. He's been working hard. Between the leg dunks.
Remember you're talking about how Andre Drummond's giving back to the community? Zion was giving back to the community of Detroit the night before that game. That's what it seems like to me. It seems like Zion was also giving back to the community of Detroit the night before that game. Jalen, it is now time for Soft Move or Boss Move. Now, the singer and songwriter Ne-Yo is not the household name that Michael Jackson is or some of the other bigger musicians that you hear about, but he's got some hits. He's got a track list, and he's written some songs that you know by heart that you don't even know he had any part of. So big shout to Ne-Yo. But the question is this. Ne-Yo recently revealed that while in the bedroom situation, he will listen to his own music. Listening to your own music while in the bedroom, soft move or boss move.
Soft move.
Soft move.
I think it's a soft move, my guy. I was trying in my mind to figure, and here's the other thing. I also think that this is hyperbole. I don't necessarily believe that this is actually true. Also, okay. Because if you think about it, there was a period of time before he was actually making music that I'm pretty sure he loved music. He had to be listening to something before he started being a successful artist himself. That's number one. But also, wouldn't it be a little eerie?
It's weird. Like, are you seeing? Is he singing along?
To make moves?
Like, does he sing along to the music? He knows the words. He wrote them himself. It's just a little creepy. It's like putting on Jalen and Jacoby in the bedroom. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. That's not going to happen.
No, Jalen. Let me. You're a new celebrity. Let me introduce you to how this fame thing works.
Jalen.
So, Ne-Yo is probably listening to his own music for people who don't really necessarily know who he is and probably not fans. So he's probably trying to win them over. Like, hey, check out what I've written. You know, listen to some of the things that I've accomplished. Look at my plaques on the wall.
Hold on.
Same thing with Jalen and Jacoby.
I don't want to get Ne-Yo in trouble. I love Ne-Yo's music. Ne-Yo's married. I don't want to get him in trouble. Jalen, because of the big national college football championship last night on ESPN, they were promoting it all day long, which meant Jalen and Jacoby was not on the network, which means we never got a chance to talk about the four big divisional round games in the NFL, which we will do so right now. It is time for News to Me. Jalen, we start with an absolutely shocking upset in Baltimore. I would have never, ever, ever thought that the Tennessee Titans and Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry would go into Baltimore and not just beat the Ravens, but beat the Ravens like this. Jalen Rose, what did you think of Derrick Henry? Not only 195 yards, but also threw for a touchdown.
This was a shocker for me, but I want to make sure I give props to the Titans. And it shows how when you have an identity, there's always something to build on. And they've decided that they have a bell cow at running back in Derrick Henry. They needed somebody that could take care of the football in Tannehill, that sometimes he's going to throw 30 times, sometimes he's going to throw 15 times. But we've never seen a running back have 180-plus yards rushing in three straight games. It has never happened in the history of the NFL. And you know, I come on this show so many times. You remember who I was comparing Derrick Henry to, right? You remember who I say he run like? Earl Campbell.
Okay. Oh, that's right.
I think when I was saying that, I think that was going over a lot of people's head. Like that's the kind of guy that now all of a sudden your defense can rest and get Gatorade and get out there and fly around the football field and make plays. And while we're going to give Henry his props, and rightfully so, let's talk about the quarterbacks they've just beaten in back-to-back weeks. Tom Brady and Lamar Jackson. Now, that's two different styles. That's the A side and the B side. Crazy. You got the GOAT with six championships that you can find in the pocket. And then you have the joystick of a player that still, by the way, was the first guy to throw for 300 and rush for 100 in a playoff game. And then all of a sudden you game plan for both of those guys in back-to-back weeks. That's terrific coaching. I want to give them props. Nobody thought that they could make it to the AFC Championship game.
Jalen, me and my friend were talking over the weekend about who Derrick Henry reminds us of. And here's what we came up with. Brandon Jacobs, but actually good. So, Jalen, I do want to talk about Lamar Jackson quickly. Because Lamar Jackson has had two playoff games in his short career. And in both playoff games, he didn't play that well. Are you concerned about this becoming a pattern moving forward? Or were they just flukes?
I don't think Brandon Jacobs deserved that shot, especially as Super Bowl champion. I'm not going to allow Lamar struggling in his couple of playoff games, considering this is so very young in his career. And, yes, you could point to the fact that how they're going to respond when they get down. And, yes, they're basically 0-4 when they have gotten down in Lamar's career as a starter. And I understand you don't want him throwing the ball 59 times. But guess what else? You don't want anybody except Joe Burrow probably throwing the football 59 times. Except one guy's in college, the other guy's in the league. They were about balance. They were about ball control. And like I told you, the time of possession and the rushing yards were going to be crucial. I want to make sure I give the Titans credit, not talk about what the Ravens are not.
Quick question. Where my homies?
Where my homies?
Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs, fell down 24-0 until Mahomes turned it on and started working the magic that we saw from him all last year. Jalen Rose, how dangerous is Patrick Mahomes moving forward through these playoffs?
So there was a slight moment in this game halfway through the first quarter, and I saw the Titans advance and the Texans were winning. I was thinking, so we about to have an all Belichick AFC championship with two of his former player and or coaches. And then I looked at the TV again. I'm like, they got Patrick Mahomes on the other squad, don't they? I'm like, they still got a chance to win this game. And so I sat up a little bit. I'm like, I'm about to watch and see if he's actually able to bring these dudes back. And then Bill O'Brien inserted himself into the proceedings. Yo, when you guys are driving and you got a chance to go for it on 4th-and-1 with Deshaun, don't say you didn't have a play. And let me tell you why. You guys went for it 12 times on 4th-and-1. That's more times than any team in the league, Jacoby. If you ain't got a play, ain't nobody got a play. And plus you got numbers with Deshaun, a dual threat quarterback. You got to go for it, number one. Number two, you can't chase points. You can't chase decisions. And when you didn't go for it, you felt bad. You felt some type of way. So you know what you did? You outthought it. You overthunk it. You said, I'm going to outsmart everybody in the entire world, and I'm going to fake this punt. I know we're going to make this. I know we're going to. And what you do, you give them a short field, and then all of a sudden, they get like 3 or 4 touchdowns, and each of the drives are like 3 or 4 plays or less. You let them right back into the game momentum-wise. You must punt the ball and at least make them drive the field, not allow them to score in 2 or 3 plays. And that play you just showed, Damian Williams had 3 touchdowns. You can't hand the ball to somebody better. He would have better off putting some money in his pocket. Like, you see how he put it right on his hip, Jacoby? So he didn't have to break stride. Patrick Mahomes is a special football player, and I'm glad I got a chance to watch every snap of that game.
Jalen, 4 words, bang, bang, Niner gang. They made light work of your visiting Vikings, and they did it the 2-way they've been doing it all season long. With defense like that, and with running the football, using the fullback as a lead blocker, can they win a Super Bowl with this kind of old school style of football?
You see D on defense getting up, making plays. And like Ron would say, I drive a Caddy, you fixing a Ford. He returned. Mm. And Bosa, I liked how he laid on the field and allowed himself to just absorb the moment and take in the fan love and the support. And then get up hype with it. Yes. And I'm happy my guy Richard Sherman, who, you know, when we were hosting the ESPYs. Had him on years ago. We talked to him about why players should hold out for more money in the collective bargaining. And he agreed with us that they should attempt to strike. But you know what? People went under the radar. The San Francisco 49ers signed him from Seattle. And a lot of people said he was probably washed because they didn't play well last year. They had double-digit losses. He dealt with some injury. And so now all of a sudden he back balling, defensive front getting up to the quarterback, making him uncomfortable. Pick right to him. Right to him. Feeling. Beat him to the spot. Pick right to him. I can't front, and I don't have a dog in the race, so to speak. Or how about this? I don't have an animal in the race since the Lions ain't performing. You like that one?
No.
I must see Patrick Mahomes' offense versus the 49ers' defense in the Super Bowl.
I want to see it.
To me, those are the best units
very
remaining.
Very quickly, Jalen, I just want to say one thing. Did we all forget about Aaron Rodgers? Think about what we just said. We're talking about the Niners and Mahomes' offense. Did we all forget about Aaron Rodgers? Is Aaron Rodgers out here being like, remember when you said I was the GOAT 2 years ago? What happened to me? Why are you talking about me?
It's a what have you done for me lately league. And he can quickly change that narrative. I always felt like the Seahawks were outplaying expectations all season. And then when they had injuries at running back, I just felt like that they'd hit a ceiling. But shout to Russell Wilson for a terrific season. But Aaron Rodgers could silence any doubters or noise by winning this weekend. He's from Cali. He returns to play. He can make a statement by beating the 49ers if he shows up and plays well.
Jalen Rose, we have one segment where you decide what we talk about. It is called Keep It Moving. If you want to discuss the topic, you say hit the brakes. If not, me and Method Man jump in the minivan and keep it moving. Are you ready, Mr. Rose?
Let's get it.
I have some bad news for Major League Baseball. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
In the wake of being suspended for 1 year apiece, Astros have fired manager AJ Hinch and the general manager Jeff Luhnow. Jalen, we still haven't heard about Alex Cora. How bad is this cheating scandal for baseball?
This is really bad for baseball, and it also shows a distinction between the NFL and Major League Baseball, who, when they get allegations of sign stealing, they swiftly punish the perpetrator. While we're still waiting for the NFL to designate what they're going to do to the Patriots for recording the Bengals sideline. Alex Cora, who was on that staff, who's now the skipper of the Red Sox, is also going to likely face punishment. Now, about this. Both of those guys got suspended a year. The team lost a first and a second draft pick, and they got fined $5 million. For an individual to now get suspended for a year, he'll probably lose his job, just like A.J. Hinch lost his, just like the GM lost his. So this is a big revelation for Major League Baseball.
Next, the Clemson Tigers lost last night, but they have a chance to redeem it all against Duke in basketball tonight. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Duke won 9 straight by average of almost 23. Keep it moving for now.
We keep it moving.
Is it time to be concerned about the Los Angeles Clippers? Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
It is not time to be concerned. We know when they're healthy, they're one of the elite teams in the NBA. Keep it moving.
We keep it moving.
Bismack Biyombo does a lot of things on the basketball floor that you could never think of doing, but he did something off the basketball floor that you cannot do. And let's just check in on how Bismack Biyombo is getting some treatment, Jalen Rose. He is getting eye acupuncture. Needles in his eye and around his eye. Jalen, would you ever do that?
The Bismack is going off the biz. Go off. No, I would not consider putting needles that close to my eyes. Now, I don't have 20/20 like I used to.
No, you don't.
I've been struggling trying to decide what's my next move. Do I need some readers, Jacoby? Do I need LASIK?
No.
What is the next move for your brother?
The first move is this, Jalen Rose. I'm going to be honest with you. Every time I hand you my phone, like, hey, look at this, the first thing you do is go. For about 20 seconds. What your first move is to go see an eye doctor and then follow their advice, not your co-host's advice on a sports television show. Moving on. Conor McGregor is already looking past Cowboy Cerrone at his next fight. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
He don't want those Floyd hands. Keep it moving. He's trying to get a paycheck.
Keep it moving. We keep it moving.
You have to see this young child play a racing video game. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
You gotta check out my little guy. Now, I've got a bunch of little kids, so I know how old this kid is. Approximately, probably about 4 years old, maybe five. Look at him reach down for the gas pedal. Got one hand on the stick, and then look at him make these moves. Jalen, how impressive is this little kid?
I'm extremely impressed, especially the way he's rocking the clutch with his left hand. Yeah. I can tell he's a rider by the way he's holding the wheel. I used to play Pole Position, the video game, growing up.
Oh,
it was one of my favorites. It's a classic.
Oh,
and that's kind of what that visual reminds me of. But there's another little tyke that probably tomorrow on the show we need to give love, who blew up the internet. He has to be the Jalen of the week. I saw the video of a young man made five straight jumpers in his crib. He had his brother and one of his family members being Flavor Flav, pumping him up. It was great footage.
I was so jealous watching that footage and then watching my son attempt to do the same thing. I was so jealous. Shout out to you, Quincy. Great chess player. Finally, Diego the Turtle is an absolute legend. You got to hit the brakes.
The brakes.
Let me tell you a story about Diego the Turtle. He lives in the San Diego Zoo, and he has got an extremely active libido. But his species was becoming extinct in the Galapagos. So they flew Diego to the Galapagos, where he sired about 800 children and saved the species. And they said, Diego, now it's time to go back home, my guy. And he has since retired. Jalen Rose, is Joe Burrow taking too much time away from the hero that we really should be celebrating, Diego the Turtle?
So first off, we talk way too much about Joe Burrow. We mentioned LeBron James. Mm-hmm. We talked about great NFL action. This should have led our show. Diego needs a statue. I'm serious.
Like, Diego, you know, needs a statue.
Procreation is important to Jalen and Jacoby. And to have someone like this, he needs to be immortalized for his contributions to our great society.
Oh. Diego, I got some money for a statue for Diego. We gotta get a statue for Diego for sure. We're gonna start that movement. We're gonna get a statue for Biggie outside of Barclays. We're gonna get a statue for Diego wherever he wants it. Jalen Rose, the LSU Tigers won the national championship. They didn't just win the national championship, they did it in New Orleans. So, we had to hear from our brother Marcus Spears, one, just to make sure he's okay, and two, because this is his big day. Let's check in.
Hey, Jalen and Jacoby. Can y'all talk about more LSU, please? Actually, scrap the damn rundown and talk all LSU winning the Natty. I'll see y'all soon in New York, and we're going to talk about it again. Peace.
So, Jalen, you used the term hyperbole earlier in the show, and I'm not sure you used it correctly, but I can't correct you on it because I'm not exactly sure what hyperbole means, but I believe it's when you sort of exaggerate and call things the best of all time, and I've heard some of that this morning. Do you think that this is the best team of all time?
No, I don't say best team. 15-0 is an amazing accomplishment that so few teams have been able to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to give them credit again. They've beaten all comers. Seven teams in the top 10. That's really impressive.
Yep.
That's extremely impressive. Joe Burrow, however, I probably can make an argument for the best season of a quarterback.
Could.
60 passing touchdowns. 60. Let me tell you a stat that the media is kind of running with that I'm just going to say I don't like right now. I don't like the responsible four stat. And that would be 65 for Joe Burrow. Let me tell you why. I know that also means rushing and passing, but sometimes it's the receiver doing the work. It's the running back. It's the tight end doing the work. We ain't gonna give the quarterback all of the credit and act like they're responsible for. I just don't like that term.
Oh, see, I do like responsible for because I don't want to throw a deep pass down to the 1 yard line and have somebody punch it in and act like I'm not responsible for it. But Jalen, I do want to say this. Not only did we hear from Marcus Spears, our brother, but we also heard from our sister, Chinee Agwumike, about some huge news in the WNBA. Now, I think it's universally understood that WNBA players are not treated fairly. Well, they have just agreed to tentative terms on a new CBA, and they're making steps toward being treated fairly. Let's take a look at some of the things that this new CBA has accomplished. Amongst others, they have raised the minimum salary, and the best players can make up to $500,000 between salary and additional league and team compensation. They've enhanced the league environment when it comes to quality of life, meaning travel, hotels, and foods, and working moms and family planning benefits. And they have better off-season options, including off-season compensation for their players. Chinee is very excited about this. Jalen Rose, what do you think about this monumentous day in the WNBA labor?
So you mean working moms that play basketball can actually now get benefits? What a noble thought. How about that? You mean to tell me that, oh, now somebody can make up to $500,000 a year that's really good at sports? Like, I'm ecstatic about the progress that's being made here. And I'm not going to ignore it in any way, shape, or form. But I ain't ready to celebrate it just yet. Because I want to see the travel accommodations actually change. I want to see a lot of the things that are moving in the right direction continue to move in that direction. So as somebody that's been a supporter and very outspoken, I am happy about the negotiations of this CBA, but in my opinion, it's still a long way to go.
Absolutely. Jalen Rose, tonight we will be in the Barclays Center for the Jazz Brooklyn Nets game, putting on a live show right when you enter the building. We will be right there. Come to Barclays, celebrate us, celebrate the Nets. We'll be waiting for you right when you come inside the building. We always say we give the people what they want, so we're not just going to give you the television show audio. We always give you podcast exclusive Too Hot for TV. See, Jalen, you got to understand, the most popular Bogdanovich is Boban. And then the second most popular is Bojan on the Jazz. I like the third most popular Bogdanovich, my man Bogdan Bogdanovich on the Sacramento Kings. But you know I love Ingles. And now that they have Bogdanovich and Ingles on the same team and the Jazz are playing well, they've got a nickname for those two, Bojingles. Bojingles will be in the building instead of Bojangles. But listen, you know, this opportunity came about and we were going to do it in the 40-40 club. But then we found out, oh, you got to be a season ticket holder to get in the 40-40 club. That's not giving the people what they want. That's giving the 1% what they want. So we said, where can you put us in the building where we get to see the most people, interact with the most people? So I don't know exactly where it is, but it's on the concourse right when you enter and get past security. We'll be right there. And you'll see us. Come give us a pound. Come say what's up. We will not be hard to find. If you don't have tickets for the Nets Jazz game and you're in Brooklyn, just get them right now. We got some t-shirts for you. We got some handouts for you. And what agenda do we have when it comes to the message that we want to get across to the people, not just of Brooklyn, but of the Barclays and the Nets specifically?
So we have a couple of messages that are really important to us. One, I hope people continue to appreciate the progression of our show. We talk so much about giving the people what they want. We have so many people in Los Angeles and South Seaport that are behind the scenes that make things go. But it's always important for both of us to be what I term industry tastemakers, which do things and then other people copy them, and rightfully so. So right now, a couple of things that we're doing that just nobody else is doing as a podcast. They're not going live on Twitter. They're not live on IG. And your favorite podcast, guess what they're not doing? They're not pregame at an NBA arena like we're going to be tonight giving the people what they want. So we're happy that we have a team that's innovative and continues to be flexible when we come with new ideas and thoughts. And one of the things we're going to make sure that we own tonight, for those that have been following the program, we succeeded in L.A. like about 5 or 6 years ago of them getting rid of the Captain America statue outside of the building.
Got to get that thing.
We took credit for that. We took credit for that. We talked about it for 2 years. We looked up. It was gone. But now we're not just taking somebody off the team. We adding to the squad. And you know what we're trying to do? We're trying to get another statues outside of Barclays. And you know who we want it to be of? The person who coined for public consumption the phrase Bed-Stuy on his classic albums. The notorious B.I.G. needs a statue at Barclays. And we gonna be there tonight to start the campaign.
You know what? He also coined the phrase spread love, it's the Brooklyn way. And now Brooklyn needs to spread some love back and show him that love in the form of a statue outside the Barclays Center. It is only right that Christopher Wallace, Notorious B.I.G., Biggie Smalls the illest, deserves his own statue. So we're gonna get there on boots on the ground. I'm not gonna write a strongly worded email. We're gonna get boots on the ground. We're gonna show up and show out. We're gonna be right there, and we're gonna preach the gospel of getting the Biggie statue outside, and Kyrie back too. Kyrie back, so you gotta show up. And we're power coupling it tonight, Jalen Rose. We're gonna power couple it. I feel
absolutely
like Joey and Molly might leave us. They might leave us and go to like some nice restaurant in the neighborhood, though. That neighborhood's getting nice. They might watch what goofballs we are and not want to be associated with us and then sneak off to a restaurant. That's always on the board.
But here's one of the problems about them coming tonight.
What's that?
You ready?
What's that?
They don't watch or listen to our show.
I know.
Now, tonight, they will be there. We can't sell out. We still got to give the people what they want.
Yo.
So it's going to be a unique balance.
I don't know about Molly, but I know that my wife don't listen to me no matter what I'm saying, no matter how I got a microphone. There can be a crowd of people around me. I can have speakers blaring my voice. She can just tune it out like a dog whistle. Like, she can just tune it out like it never even happened. So I'm not worried about that. I'll never sell out. But Jalen, that just means the after party's going to be shorter. That's all. That's what it really means. It just cuts into the after party time. But you know what?
And pregame.
Sometimes you just got to make sacrifices. Sometimes you just got to make sacrifices for the women in your life that make everything happen. So if you are going to be at Barclays, make sure you come through. Come over to us. Say what's up. We always appreciate you and giving the people what they want. And we'll be back tomorrow with another pod. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. Got to give the people.